Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, everyone, this is going to be a little bit different for us, but it's been a long time coming, but I'm so happy to be able to finally introduce my two guests for you guys today. With the news that lacrosse is heading to LA in 2028 and a new season of The Fly only a couple months away, I'm very pleased to introduce both Anna Neville and Alice Ripper. Both captain and internationals and Olympic hopefuls, first and foremost, they are someone who has a job and works the 9-to-5 and someone who's still studying at university. With lacrosse still classified as an amateur sport, both Anna and Alice are left to fund their careers out of their own pockets. This one's something slightly different for me, and I'm sure it will be for you guys as well. With the limited knowledge surrounding the sport, this was not only enjoyable, but incredibly insightful, and I can't wait to share it all with you. So I hope you guys enjoy. Guys, thank you so much for joining me. I think we'll sort of try and start back from the beginning. So what point did you guys start playing lacrosse? Was it ever from the start of school or did it come more into in more recent years?
So I think both of us started kind of quite an old age for lacrosse. I mean, people in the US tend to start when they're like 5 or 6 years old, whereas we didn't start until school age. Personally, it was year seven. So when I started secondary school at St Albans, started playing then, fell in love with it and then just carried on through uni, yeah.
Did you imagine that it would have the impact in your life that it did back then, or was it sort of a gradual falling in love with it that now it's, I mean, dominates your life to a certain extent?
Definitely a gradual thing. I mean, when you're younger, you play loads of different sports, so you never know where you're going to end up. But yeah, definitely a gradual thing. But as I played it more and more, kind of joined a club and fell in love with it really over time.
And sort of for my listeners, a lot of them won't have necessarily even watched the game of lacrosse before. Can you give me in just two or three sentences a brief rundown of what the sport actually is and what you actually love about it?
Okay, I'd say on the whole, a lot of people explain it like hockey in the air. So the ball stick, for England, we play 10-a-side. GB, we play 6-a-side. And I think the thing we love the most about it is it's an athletic, quick game. The teammates we play with are unbelievable, both at uni level, England level, GB level. We absolutely adore everyone we play with. The coaches are super supportive. And I would say, adding on from Ripper, we both started young and it's been a gradual love of the sport. But I say, especially in the last 4 or 5 years, the game's really rocketed, and especially in the last year with the Olympic inclusion, I'd say the hype for the sport, and especially for us who have loved it for longer, it's just excelling, and it's awesome to see how the game's growing so quickly.
You mentioned that it's growing. Obviously, you mentioned that it started in the US, but now it's very much is growing to become an international sport. Do you think that
it's a good thing that there's the different formats, or do you think that's going to become a potential form of a bit of confusion?
I think definitely a good thing in terms of growing the game. I mean, it wouldn't be an Olympic sport if it wasn't for the different kind of formats. So if it wasn't for sixes, it wouldn't be even considered for the Olympics. So I think it's definitely a great thing in that way. I mean, all lacrosse is lacrosse, regardless of the format, but I can see why it would be slightly confusing. And I know there was quite a lot of controversy about kind of moving to sixes instead of tens because it's been such a traditional game and it's got so much heritage behind it. So yeah, it could be confusing and a kind of controversy surrounding it. But like in terms of growing the game as a whole globally, like without sixes, it wouldn't be possible. So I definitely think it's a good thing.
Is there a
I'd
preferential
also
monk?
add to
Oh, sorry, Karen.
no, sorry.
No, there
I'd
you
just
go.
say to add to that, with the six aside, it means it is a faster game and people are able to, I've heard spectators enjoy to watch it a bit more. So I think we're actually quite a fortunate side of it that because it's so new and the Olympic is in 4 years' time in LA, we've got the overlap between the tens and the sixes, and I don't think they'll be able to split the teams yet, so that you're only able to like do tens or do sixes. So I think we'll be lucky enough to potentially be able to keep going with both formats.
Is there a preference? You mentioned that you think spectators enjoy the six side a lot more. Is there a preferential between the players about what's more preferred?
I mean, I'd say with the Olympic inclusion, I would love to say like sixes is the one. And I would definitely say the more I'm playing it, the more I am enjoying it. Tens has a place in my heart. I love the center draw. I love 10 on a field. There's less pressure with the shot clock. But the more we play sixes, the more I'm falling in love with it. So I'm not sure if you agree, Ripper, but
Yeah, I think there's aspects of the tens game that like I think a lot of the players love. It's a lot more kind of tactical at the moment because sixes is so new. It's hard for coaches to come out with these new tactics and stuff because we're all learning the game at the moment. But I think sixes will become more tactical as it goes on and as people get more used to the rules, which are ever changing. But I mean, as Anna said, there are aspects of the tens game that people just love. Like you can take much more control of the ball because there's no shot clock, a lot more space to dodge, center draws, exactly. Like there are definitely aspects that people just love. But sixes definitely brings a different kind of side to the sport.
And as you say, there's the dominant sort of the focus on sixes of the Olympics and everything. Is there a worry that the tens is only going to get less and less, and the sixes is going to start to become the dominant format of lacrosse, and then it could say that university and school lacrosse is going to become six side rather than tens?
Oh, I think I'm going to say that I think tens will always be a thing. I think, especially in America, I think people are very keen to keep that as the format. College lacrosse is just growing exponentially at the moment. And like the difference now in like the kit, the sticks, everything from even like 5, 6 years ago is crazy. And I think they'll keep tens as a focus for college lacrosse, stuff like that. And I do think sixes will end up being just kind of an Olympic special format for like elite players, which is really cool as well.
Obviously, in the last few years, British lacrosse has seen a massive sort of improvement and growth with the Fly. For those who don't know, it's sort of the IPL of lacrosse within England. But have you guys both obviously both played, both enjoyed, and think it's a great thing for British lacrosse?
I definitely think it's been one of the best things that's come over in the last couple of years. It's just grown the game for spectators. We've seen people come and watch it who haven't got anyone playing and they're just supporting teams. It's nice for us as individuals to play with other, some people from Scotland, Wales, people from anyone who basically is in the UK at the time can qualify for this tournament. And I think it's really, really great funding and a great way to grow the game.
Anything else, Alice?
No, I think that's all. Like it's a magic event. It's really great. I mean, it's growing year to year. There are a lot of people behind the scenes that put in a lot of effort to make it what it is now. And it's definitely only growing. We've got different venues. Like this year, we're doing one weekend up in Manchester. Hopefully, get some more kind of northern interest. I know the men's game is definitely bigger up there than it is down south. So, get a different crowd, maybe more of a men's supporting crowd, which will be interesting. But yeah, the venues, everything like that, the Flyers just kind of, it's a fantastic event, like showcases the sport, definitely.
How do you two find it as players going from playing with your team at uni to playing with the team at the Flyers, playing with GB England, going from team to team? Obviously, there will be similar players like you two have played together everywhere, but is it quite tricky going from playing with one setup to another, or does it sort of all flow naturally into one?
I think it's very interesting as a uni player going from kind of you train with the same people for like 2 hours a day, for like five days a week, whatever. And you really get to learn who they are, their mannerisms, what they like to do with the ball, stuff like that. And then you go and play England's kind of the next kind of level where we train like once a month. We have a whole weekend together, which is great. That's definitely been upped in kind of training hours, which is great. And then you go to something like the Fly and you barely even have a training session as a team. So it's really interesting to go from kind of training every day with some people and playing in those kind of games versus playing in something completely new like the Fly. I think knowing your role kind of is different in like a uni team to an England team to the Fly team. So, I mean, that's interesting as well. I don't think it's difficult to play with new players, though. I think you get to a certain level and you can kind of read each other. I don't know if you'd agree, Anna, but I think.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's kind of funny. We'll play together and be each other's biggest supporters on the same team. And then we go to the Fly and we're playing against each other. And obviously I'll support Ripper the whole way through until we're on the pitch against each other. But, and I'll always want her to do well, even if we're playing against each other. But I do think you have your roles, as Ripper said, which do vary between each team. But I think there's a certain amount of skill set, which you just keep on adapting and you'll keep growing through any form of lacrosse, whether that is sixes, tens, training sessions, clubs, England, GB. I think it's just you're growing with those skills. And I think it's key in trying to be adaptable with those because coaches will want you to work with different players and you'll have to try and be adaptable to make them show off their best assets as well as them showing your best assets off too.
Speaking as someone who's only ever really watched the tens and at that watched tens and not really had a clue what's going on, is it a sense that you play with the same players at uni and then do certain players have their sort of trademarks? So if you're playing as Alice, would you know where her necessarily, not saying she has weaknesses, but where her weaknesses might be or what she's going to do? And does that sort of make it slightly more complex in a sense?
You're so damn right. She doesn't have weaknesses, but I'd say you would actually more pick up on their strengths. Like, I know Ripper's going to get that ball and she's very like driven and she's a massive threat in her attacking ways. Whereas you'll have players who will be more of a adaptable, like fluid player and help pass the ball around. Whereas, you know, with Ripper, when she's on with the ball, you can't step off because she will go for that goal. So I'd say it's more, you're able to suss out their strengths. I mean, coaches like to think that, oh, this player's weak in this respect, but I think at the end of the day, every player at the level we're playing at is pretty awesome. And I just think we learn so much from watching them and playing with them. So I just think it's more of an opportunity to see their strength. Obviously, you learn so much from, like, when we play together at England and I get to mark Ripper in a 6v6, like, I'm using that to try and grow my defensive work and she's trying to use that to grow her attacking work. So, yeah, I think we pick out more on each other's strengths than weaknesses.
I think one of the big reasons why I wanted to talk about this, and I've spoken to you guys already about why I think this is quite a really interesting episode, is lacrosse has been announced as being an Olympic sport for the first time, I think it's in 124 years, I think, at 2028 Olympics. And for a lot of people, they won't know anything about it when they see it, which is quite unusual for an Olympic sport. Usually if you see someone rowing or you can understand the game straight away. But I think a big thing for a lot of countries as well is that lacrosse isn't a professional sport. So I wanted to give you guys the platform to be able to sort of give it another side and let people into the sport a little bit more. And one of the big things about lacrosse in the UK, it's still amateur, isn't it? So you guys aren't funded, you don't have anything else like that. So what sort of complications does that bring into the game for you?
I mean, yeah, it's one of those things that, like, it's always been a struggle for the world of lacrosse. I mean, every country experiences it. It's things like, how many tours can we do in a year? Like, who's eligible for each tour, because some people like can't take the days off work or whatever. And I'm sure this happens in other sports as well, but I think it has been like a massive thing for us. So like as a squad, as an England squad, we're all individually reaching out to companies at the moment to try and get sponsors, because we've got the European Championships this summer, and then in two summers we'll be the world champs again. So kind of everything comes from the players, so it adds kind of another aspect. It's not just working on your stick skills, working on your fitness. You've got to work outside and find a sponsor for the team and stuff like that. I think it just is difficult. And I think for it to become like a fully funded sport instead of self-funded would just be incredible. It would just give people so much more opportunity, like not even just in the elite game of like going on more tours, visiting more places, but having more outreach to like schools and stuff. Like the equipment that's required for lacrosse compared to a sport like football is completely worlds apart. Like especially men's lacrosse, you need a helmet, you need pads, sticks, goggles, mouth guards, goals. I just think any kind of funding for the sport would just be like phenomenal. And I know a lot of people are, as I've said, in other aspects of lacrosse, like working behind the scenes to try and make things happen. But I think since the Olympic inclusion announcement's gone out, it's definitely set the ball rolling for sure.
Do you think the fly is crucial to that, then sort of helping it get more publicity, more awareness around the country? Is the inclusion of fly, do you think, is part of the tactical to try and draw in these sponsors?
Yeah, I think the fly's an event to just showcase our sport. Like, it can't be a bad thing for people to see that high level, high octane, fast paced lacrosse, because at the end of the day, a lot of players who are playing in the fly are gunning for the Olympics. So they are the future. And I'd hope that me and Anna are in that as well, which is cool. But yeah, I think it's a great event, and I think it can only bring more kind of eyes on our sport, which is good. But yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not going to ask for like numbers or anything, but so if it's 100% self-funded, what percentage of however much money you have to raise do you think is coming from sponsors, and how much are you guys having to work for and earn to try and... Is it that you can get three sponsors and that will cover your whole trip, or is it that each time you're having to go into your own pocket to try and help yourself get on the plane?
For sure, trying to get into our own pockets and get ourselves on the plane. I think I don't know about Nevs, but I've never really had a tour or anything that's been completely funded by a sponsor. The Hong Kong Super Sixes was partially funded, which was awesome. That was kind of the first event that I've been to where we didn't have to play. I think it was our flights that were covered. But then everything else while you're there, we kind of had to pay for kit and everything. And obviously you've got your own sticks that you pay for, your own mouth guard, own goggles, all of that kind of adds up. But yeah, definitely we can never have too many sponsors, I don't think, at this point, because it is very much self-funded.
It's quite a tricky question, but do you not think that state of lacrosse right now limits its sort of reach within the country? Only people who are slightly more fortunate in their backgrounds and come from maybe slightly wealthier families or have money coming from other places are the only ones really given the opportunity to represent GB or England?
I think there is change coming with the Olympic inclusion. Money will be coming. I do agree with your point. I do think it's a shame that, and it's really sad because the sport is such an incredible sport and we grew to love it so early on, and we played loads of other sports growing up as well. So we do try and take the opportunity when we can to go back to our old schools and coach and share the sport that we both grew up loving. So hopefully change is on the way. Money is being invested and we're all trying our best to go out and find sponsors, but we can only hope and do the best individually at the moment.
Yeah, nice. Okay, well, enough of politics. Looking towards the Olympics, which I believe for both of you is the long-term goal, do you both see yourselves playing lacrosse for the next 10, 15 years? Or do you think it's more of the Olympics could be your big conclusion? How do you guys see your futures going?
I mean, hands down, yes. I mean, I play the sport because I love it. I love the sport itself. I love the people I play it with. I wouldn't do it if I didn't. I think having left uni and now being in the London life, it does become a bit more not in my day-to-day routine, and I'm going out of my ways to be able to play lacrosse and train, but it makes it so worthwhile when you come back and you've had an amazing session. And generally, hands down, the people there are my best friends and will be forever. So yes, obviously the aim is the Olympics, but I think you've got to look at it in the short term almost, because every training, we take up, I'd say, 3 out of 4 weekends a month training, whether that's club, regional, GB, England, because that's the schedule. And at the moment, it's all working well. But I think you're also one injury away from something. So I think you've just got to do it every weekend, enjoy every weekend. And then if you get chosen to do Euros, great. Then the World Cup, amazing. Then the Olympics, even better. But you've just got to take it as it comes. But yeah, I see myself playing for lacrosse for the foreseeable future. As long as I keep loving it, I'll keep playing.
Same for you, Alice?
Yeah, I was going to say literally the same thing. Like, it's so cliche to say, and like people always say this, and as a youngster you're kind of like, oh no, it's not about this. People say like, oh, it's about the journey, it's not about the end goal, and it is, it's so cringe. But when you actually kind of come down to it, like having played 4 years of Bucks and kind of that's it, we and Anna never won a Bucks gold, but it's kind of one of those things, like we may never make the Olympics. I mean, I really hope we both do, it'd be incredible, but you may not make this world champs, you may not make the next Euros, whatever it is, but as long as you enjoy the way there, then you'll enjoy it so much more when you get there, if that makes sense. Like, you can't focus on, I'm going to play until the Olympics, play in the Olympics and then be done. I just agree with Anna wholeheartedly. Like, we just both love the sport so much, and we wouldn't do it if we didn't love it. The hours, the money, everything that goes into it. We just enjoy it so much, and that's what matters, I think. Obviously, would love to play in the Olympics, but, you know, it's the journey, really, with everyone and enjoying it as you go. I think that's the important thing.
I also think we're all there to motivate each other. We all have each other's best interests at heart. We're all there to push each other. I see Ripper come back, and she's had another year at uni, and she's been better than ever, and that motivates me more. But it's a stage where it is each step. Like, I go to a training weekend and I love that weekend and it makes me excited for the next one. Obviously, we're thinking ahead. We've got Hohmanns coming up. Then we've got Euros this summer. We're waiting for Euro selection and we've just got to keep our fingers crossed. But we're pushing each other to make England the best it can be for the Euros. And if you're not selected then for that Euro squad, obviously that's extremely disappointing, but you've helped the team get there, and as long as you've enjoyed the journey to make that possible, then it's all worth it.
Completely. And then obviously the Olympics being the sixes format, I presume that means the squad is not only more competitive because it's England, Ireland, Wales, Scotland, but it's also a smaller squad. So from your player's perspective, obviously you push yourselves to the max anyway, but does that sort of heap on the pressure, or do you guys sort of take the pressure in your step?
Pulls on the pressure, definitely. I think we enjoy that though, as people who thrive in those kind of environments. Like, Anna and I both want to play in world champs, in Euros, in Olympic games, and it's, you wouldn't want that if you didn't like the high pressure of it, and that's your reward for working so hard. So I think both of us enjoy that almost. I think the whole squad does. Like, when it's more competitive for places, the team, as Anna says, gets better as a whole. So I just think that the 12 or 10, however many it ends up being, players that get picked to go to the Olympics will be like wholeheartedly the best that GB can come out with, which is just incredible, really. Like, I honestly think we've got such a good chance to go out and win big medals, definitely in the sixes format, and for sure the tens. Like, the program in England and GB is just getting better and better, so for sure piles on the pressure, but I think we enjoy that.
I can agree more.
Do you think it's a case that you are just taking it tournament by tournament as a squad and as a country? Is it first you look at the Euros, then you look at the World Champs, or is now that the Olympics has been announced, is that in the back of everyone's mind that if you do well at one tournament, that's pretty helping yourself for the next?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, it's in the back of everyone's minds. When it came out, I mean, it was so exciting, and all the coaches were really excited. The Fly was super excited because their whole premise has been kind of hoping that the Olympics is going to become a thing for us. But yeah, I think, what was your question again? Sorry, I can't remember.
I'll take over, it's fine. I think, yes, we go for each tournament at a time, and if I think it would be, we'd be complacent if we didn't, and yeah. we hold ourselves to such a high standard, but we do take it tournament at a time. Obviously, you've got to think about the World Cup, which is two years away, and we've been the bronze medal match the last 2 years as England. So it's, you've got to start your preparation now to get to that gold medal match. You can't wait for the year before that. So obviously we are training in our weekends to go out and beat Canada, go out, beat USA. But I think we've got home ints in 2.5 weeks now. We're playing Czech Republic, Scotland, Wales. So we take that as it comes. But I think every training session we train as if we're going to play US tomorrow. I think you've got to picture it like you're playing the hardest team, and then, yeah, get going from there.
Obviously, bar the US, given that they have the highest population of playing lacrosse, who are the other big threats for you guys looking across Euros, but also towards the World Cup and the Olympics?
Recently, I mean, Australia, we've been in two World Champs bronze medal games with them. And both, I think, have gone to golden gold, double overtimes, whatever, crazy games. So I think they're definitely a big threat. But I think as a program, we've improved so much that I really think we could take on Canada, US. I think they're the next big dogs to kind of go for. But for sure, like Australia are a great team as well. And I mean, personally, haven't played them. I don't know if Anna has either. But I think for us young guns, it's really exciting to see that there was so much competition. I mean, in the past few years with teams that we've now really, really overtaken. I think weirdly, just to add, in the Sixes games, Japan have invested a lot of money into their program. And I think they'll be a real big threat in the Sixes game especially. But I think they're coming up in the Tens as well, which is really cool. The game's growing in other parts of the world.
You talk about you two being sort of the young guns of the squad, but come four years' time, you guys obviously be looking at 27, 28. How much variety and sort of range of ages there within the squad? A lot of people, is it, because imagine people are playing the most, the ones coming straight out of university. If like patterns were to provide anything, you'd expect the majority of the squad to be the youngsters, or is it the case that this squad's been playing so well going now, there actually it's going to be quite a similar squad with only a few new inclusions building towards these bigger goals?
I kind of think it just comes to a fuck the age like approach. Like we all train so hard, as long as you're putting in the hours, putting in the effort, as long as you can pick up a lacrosse stick and play as much as possible, age is pretty irrelevant. I do think apparently it's age 26, 27, which is prime age for a lacrosse athlete. So that's exciting. I would say no one could write the Olympic team for GB at the moment. People come and go. The coaching staff, we're like unsure on how that's going to be in 4 years' time. We've got amazing England coach and GB coaches. So, yeah, as you said, like the team, it does vary in ages, but the under-20s have a World Cup coming up, and after that, they're going to be joining our England setup. So, and in 4 years' time, they'll be 25, 26. So it's exciting, but I do think age is pretty irrelevant. I think there are people who are a few years older than us who still will be gunning for the Olympics, and they'll just have just as chance as we will.
And obviously, Anna, you spoke about it earlier, but now that you are working the 9-to-5 as such, has that affected the way that you sort of, your mindset towards lacrosse, or is it still lacrosse is the goal and at the end of the day, that's what you want to do in terms of still going to have the focus, or is work starting to become a bit more serious in a sense?
Oh, not at all. I completely agree. Like, lacrosse is my main focus. I mean, work is great, and I'm actually really enjoying the whole routine and setup. And we have such a nice group of England players who are all in London doing the same thing, and we can really relate to each other. So we're training once, twice a week. On weekends, we're playing matches. Don't get me wrong, I am jealous of Ripper every day being able to go out and play lacrosse for 2 hours. That's the dream. But I'm still able to work, love my job, and train, play lacrosse. And obviously, I wish I could be playing more, but lacrosse will always be my main focus as much as I want it to be. And I think if you want it, you can just put in the time, put in the effort, and hopefully it all pays off.
This might sound like a stupid question for both of you, but biggest goal sort of looking the next sort of 12, 24 months?
Ooh. Well, I mean, Anna's mentioned the Euro squad coming out for this summer. So I think that's the big aim for now. I mean, we've got eyes on Home Ints. We've both been selected for that. So that's really exciting. So yeah, just go to Home Ints, go out and crush it, hopefully. And then fingers crossed the Euro selection comes along, because that'll be both of our first kind of major tournaments. So that would be really, really cool. I think that's what we've both got our sights set on. Correct me if I'm wrong, Anna, but for sure.
No, I couldn't agree more. To be fair, every training weekend when we get to put together in a MIDI string to be able to implement that at Euros would be pretty epic. So I would say I couldn't agree more. I set on first Home Ints, but then Euros, and then just keep pushing. Like, we're playing with an amazing group of people. We'll see from September how the GB squad changes. We'll be trying again, but it's just exciting. I think the world of lacrosse is only going up, and we both love it, and we wouldn't do anything else. Like, we love the people we play with, we love the game, we love the coaches, we love how we feel, like the whole vibe of it. So we couldn't be happier.
Alice, obviously you went to Hong Kong at the end of last year. All right.
Yeah.
How was that as an experience? Obviously your first proper like Sixes GB tour and everything like that.
Yeah, it was really cool. They did like a shirt presentation, which was awesome to give out and get a shirt that literally says Great Britain on it. I think that's something that I don't know if that would ever grow old. I mean, hopefully there's many more selections to come in the future, but that was kind of crazy exciting. I just loved it. I really enjoyed it. I think the caliber of opposition, I mean, they gave us some really good games, but at the end of the day, we did win a lot of our matches by quite a fair few goals. I think the next thing for us is, as GB, I think is definitely playing more of the US, the Canadas, kind of Australia, Japan. A lot of them didn't participate in that tournament, which was a bit of a shame. But I still just, like, the experience was incredible. Putting on a GB shirt, like I've said, like it's a feeling like no other. Like, it was just a great experience, a great group. We all played for each other, learned so much about Sixes. I think that was the main takeaway, is learning how to play the game properly, be composed, rather than, it's a very frantic game if you let it be. So yeah, being composed, taking control, and really going out there and winning games was really cool.
And that can obviously only set you in good stead for the future and more tours, more Sixes, and you've played against a whole number of opposition you're probably going to come up against again in the next few years, you'd hope.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, any experience is good experience, I think. But I really do think we as a country need to get out and play more of US, Canada, even like ourselves. I mean, I remember playing in Portugal a couple of years ago, I think, and we played against a Scotland Sixes team, and it went to overtime, and stuff like that. It's those moments that you really learn how to play at that high level, and how to be that team player and hold out a game or win a game with your team, which everyone learns from the most, I think. So we definitely need more of those experiences for sure.
Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining me. I'm going to ask you one more question each, which I've asked a lot of our guests, which is the favourite moment of your career so far. If you had to pick one moment which stands out of the last, however, it can be from as little as you were or up to a minute recently.
Anna, do you want to go first?
Brilliant, I'll take it away. I think it was probably receiving my England cap last year for Home Ints. I think it was just, there were a couple of us, and Ripper and I got to receive it together, and we had put in so much hard work. And I think I can speak for both Ripper and I. We didn't find it the easiest getting into the setup, and it's a big setup, and it takes your time to find your feet and get to know the players. But once you're in, it really does feel like it's so worth it, and everyone becomes so close. And so I think receiving that cap with my best friend was pretty awesome.
Is it really boring if I say the same thing? I do just think, like as Anna said, both of us had very similar lacrosse journeys, weirdly. Kind of came in late to the under-19s, didn't really get selected for much at the beginning. But it's just massively taken off for us both this year, which is, well, not just this year, in the last few years. So yeah, getting that cap was pretty cool. My dad's put it in a box, which is nice. So yeah, I think like every time I look at it, I just like, it's the memories of like that team and all of the training weekends, like Anna's said before, like we just enjoy it all. I know it's so cliche to say the journey again, but the journey, but that cap was pretty cool.
Was there a particular moment that you guys felt that sort of went from you guys being on the fringe to finally breaking through? Do you think it was it the extra effect of playing with some of the high, having the same coach and having some of the high caliber players around you? Or was there just something in particular which really jump-started you to put you into the starting teams?
We both got invited, luckily, to a couple of the senior weekends. So we were part of under-23s and we were trying our best at every single weekend. And I think both of us together kind of could feel that we were really improving and making like big, big strides in our lacrosse play. And thankfully, yeah, got rewarded with a few training weekends. I remember a couple. I was so nervous going to them. But yeah, like those weekends, I think we learned a lot from playing with those senior players. It was obviously scary at first, but now that's us, which is cool to think about as well. But I'd say those weekends really helped.
And I'd say from that, we got selected to go to a tournament in Canada, where there was a small group of us, and it was like one of our first sixes tournaments. And as Ripper said, we really put our heads down and worked really hard, even when we weren't in the senior setup. And I think it just shows, and Mike always says it, this is so cringe, but it's such an extra quote, hustle is a habit. And I think if you actually just grind, keep going, even if you get a setback and you're not making selections, you will make it if you just put in the hard work. So I just think, like, we'll even do it now. You just can't take anything for granted and just keep working so hard, work with the people around you, learn, don't be afraid of learning. I learned so much from Ripper. I learned so much from my teammates. And I just think, like, keep going with attitude and you'll get there.
At the end of the day, that is a culmination of a lot of hard work for you guys to achieve what you have. And it's very, very impressive. When you guys are away from the game, but hanging out with the squad, what do you guys tend to do to try and do up some time and, I guess, bond as a team?
Yeah, so on tours, I think it's really important to have loads of downtime and stuff as well. Nice to get to know everyone kind of off field. As a team, when we went to Carolina, we played a lot of like card games and stuff, which was cool, super fun. Someone always brings like a new card game to play around the pool or something like that. So yeah, just super fun to hang out, chill out, have some downtime, team meals, stuff like that. Super nice.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, especially in the North Carolina trip. After games, we get to hang out with the other team, which is cool. So we hear about their college experience. And then, as Ripper said, downtime's so important. But getting to know your team off the pitch definitely helps with the gelling on the pitch. So we end up doing escape rooms and different activities like that, which is pretty cool.
And who's the calm head in the escape rooms? Anyone a bit definitely of a liability?
Definitely. Well, between the two of us, I wouldn't say we're too great, but we make it out alive, just so no, it's good fun.
No, well, girls, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a long time coming. We've wanted to have this conversation for a while, but things keep cropping up, so it's good to get it finally done. But if there's one thing you guys wanted, a lot of the listeners won't have heard of lacrosse or necessarily know much about it. If there's one thing you really wanted to imprint upon the listeners, what would it be? Whether it's in a sort of watching as a fan or even getting involved.
I think watching it to bear in mind kind of all the hard work that the athletes put in. I know everyone who's kind of an elite athlete in any sport puts in loads of work, but the skill required to play lacrosse alongside like the fitness required to run up and down the pitch in sixes all of those things combined, the fact that it's a self-funded sport, everything like that, just bear that in mind when you watch an incredible game of lacrosse and you think, wow, like, those are some serious athletes. At the same time, you know, now know kind of what they go through day to day, which is really interesting to know both sides.
And I would definitely say, if you have the opportunity to get involved, definitely do. It is, as Ripper said, there's a lot of tactics that go into it, but the coaching staff and all the support is really there. And especially with the Olympic inclusion, it's definitely increased. So the people you get to meet as well, it just makes it so worth it. They become your best friends. And I generally don't like, I couldn't be happier playing the sport. So yeah, I'm so grateful that I have had the opportunity, and hopefully we get to do our country proud in everything we do. But yeah, it's a massive thanks to the supporters and everyone who lets us play in front of people and helps fund the sport. But yeah, we couldn't be happier.
Well, from everyone here at the Sports Social Network and on behalf of the podcast as well, wish you guys obviously the best of luck with home internationals in a few weeks, the Euros this summer, and looking further afield. We've had a couple of Olympians already on the podcast, but hopefully, fingers crossed, this will be two more, touch wood. But yeah, thank you guys for giving up some time. And yeah, best of luck.
Thanks so much, Freddie.
Thanks, Freddie.
Sports Social Podcast Network.